This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and substantially sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com.
Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Turner here with you, and we are starting a new week. It is Monday, January 18th. We are continuing our breakdown of the Giants' different position units, and before I get into today's breakdown, which is on the offensive line, just quick programming note coming up. We're going to have, we're actually going to have a break in the series, meaning that instead of finishing them off in order, I have to break in and just schedule some other stuff. Amongst them, I'm trying to get Rick Ciratella of NFL Draft Bible on the show, because next week is the Senior Bowl, and I've been credentialed to cover the Senior Bowl virtually, which means I should have, hopefully, interviews, observations, all kinds of cool stuff. The Senior Bowl is going to take place despite the pandemic. It's going to be done virtually, like I said, for myself and a lot of people, but we'll still have access to different players and whatnot, and really looking forward to it. I've never covered the Senior Bowl before, but really looking forward to doing that. And as far as the position previews and stuff, or I should say the position reviews for the Giants, we'll continue to file those in other shows. I may double some up just to, you know, kind of get through them, because we do have to eventually move on to the future as opposed to clinging too long to the past. But on today's show, we're going to do offensive line, so let's jump right into it. The offensive line, I think as a whole, you can honestly say that they had some inconsistencies. But you know what? Inconsistencies that this line had really weren't unexpected. You had a rookie left tackle. You had a newcomer at right tackle in Cam Fleming. You had a new center and Nick Gates, a guy who had never taken live snaps at the spot. So all things considered, that offensive line, I thought, showed the most promise out of any offensive line I've seen in quite some time from this team. Wasn't perfect. There's still a lot of work to be done, and I've said all along that that offensive line is not yet a finished product. I think Matt Parrott at some point is going to fit in at right tackle. He'll definitely be, you know, compete for that spot. I really don't know exactly what they're going to do with the guards. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into the program, but you got to think that Shane Lemieux will probably get one of the spots. I don't know where Will Hernandez fits in, and again, we'll talk about that as we get into the program. But on the whole, and then here's the other thing, that unit, as everybody knows, had a coaching change. And, you know, Googs has a much, much different approach to how he coaches offensive line than Mark Colombo did. And as Googs said many times when he was on conference calls with the media, he implied that, you know, he wasn't going to start from scratch, given when he came in and, you know, teach those guys everything from scratch. That's going to happen, though, in this offseason. And I just think you're going to see a unit that's going to be a lot more cohesive, a lot more, you know, that works better together. You know, obviously one of the things they have got to fix is they've got to work on picking up stunts. That was just a disaster for them. And Googe has a few tricks up his sleeve. You know, this is a guy, he might not have played in the NFL before, but this is a guy who has a few tricks that he can certainly, you know, teach these guys. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the comparison from 2019 to 2020. Basically, the Giants in 2019, they allowed 194 total pressures and 25 of the 43 sacks absorbed by the quarterbacks, that according to Pro Football Focus. In 2020, the results, or at least the numbers, were a little bit better, 170 total pressures and 26 out of the 45 sacks allowed. Again, not spectacular, but sort of headed in the right direction. So, you know, when you assign a final grade to the Giants offensive line, I think you have to take into consideration, you know, the pandemic, the fact that they had three new members on that team, four if you count, you know, Shane Lemieux. They had a position coach change, and they had a new offense on top of it to learn. So, you know, all things considered, like I said, I think that unit is headed in the right direction. You know, I felt that way in the past, I know, but, you know, I think the proof was in the pudding. And, you know, the running game fared well, even without Saquon Barkley. The passing game, not so much so, but I'm not so sure that was all on the offensive line. Just, you know, a lot of promise there. And we'll see what year two of that particular line brings. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, will it be as good as the line from 2007, 2008, 2009, that line? Too early to tell. Probably not, because that line back then was really special. But, look, you know, they're on the right track. So we'll see what year two brings. All right, folks, you are listening to the Locked On Giants podcast with Patricia Traynor. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages with more on the Giants offensive line.
When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness spikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. And one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL to take advantage of this very special offer.
Hey, Giant fans, this is Patricia Traynor, host of the Locked On Giants podcast. If you're looking for a way to keep Giants football in the forefront during this offseason, pick up a copy of my new book, The Big 50 New York Giants, The Men and Moments That Made the New York Giants. This 350-plus page book takes a deep dive into the rich history of the Giants franchise, covering every era with stories, photos, and more that take you behind the headlines. The Big 50 New York Giants is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, TriumphBooks.com, and wherever books are sold. Pick up your copy today, and thank you to everyone for your support.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traynor here with you on this Monday, January 18th. And 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we are continuing our breakdown of the Giants offensive line from 2020. And a couple of players we'll start with is Andrew Thomas, the rookie offensive tackle, a guy who had a season who was pretty much it was pretty much a roller coaster. And what was interesting I found is that in the first eight games is where he pretty much was up and down. He gave up 37 out of his 57 total pressures in those first eight games, but he settled down in the second half, and there were, I think, three games in which he pitched a shutout, didn't have any, you know, pressures, sacks, or anything like that. So the arrow is pointing up on Andrew Thomas, but, you know, as we know by now, he was diagnosed with an ankle injury for which he had surgery, I believe, last week. So when we go back and we look at some of the struggles that he had, you have to wonder how much of those struggles were related to the ankle injury. I would be willing to bet, especially considering how sometimes his footwork was just all over the place at his base, not necessarily, you know, a solid base. Sometimes it was a little too wide. You just wonder how much of that was him compensated for the ankle injury. And, you know, the bottom line is Andrew Thomas, give him a full year, you know, let him get into the NFL weight room, let him work with Googs, and I think we're going to see a much better guy. I feel good about this kid's future moving forward. If he stays healthy, I think he's going to really be a solid upgrade at that left tackle position. Let's talk now about the left guard spot. Now, initially when Will Hernandez went out with COVID and was replaced by Shane Lemieux, you figured it was just, you know, a good opportunity for Lemieux to get some snaps, but not too many people, I don't think, initially thought that Lemieux would basically unseat Hernandez at left guard. And, you know, at Inside Football, we put together our year-end issue where we reviewed all the players that were on the roster this year, or most of them, I should say. And one of the things our pit specialist, Bob Folger, does a great job, by the way. If you don't read Inside Football, if you really want the X's and O's stuff, Bob Folger's stuff is really worth reading. But anyway, Will Hernandez, what he wrote about Hernandez, and I agree, based on, you know, what I have seen on film, Hernandez is at his best when asked to work on an island. When he's asked to just plow straight ahead, that's where he can use his brute force. However, this offensive line and this scheme doesn't always call for that exclusively. There is some pulling involved with the guards, some mobility that is necessary. And if you watch Hernandez on a pull, and this was kind of surprising because this was supposed to be a strength of his, so this was really surprising and also makes you wonder if maybe he was dealing with some sort of lower body injury. But oftentimes his pulls were a split second too late. And if he's not getting there in time, obviously he, you know, the play's not going to go anywhere. It's going to get blown up. And that's basically what was happening with some of those plays, particularly in the running game. So what Lemieux brought to the table is he was a little bit more athletic, a little bit more mobile, better with run blocking. I mean, I don't know if you took note, but if you go back and you look at the per-game stats, right around the time Lemieux was put into the lineup, that's when the running game started to really, you know, fall into place. So one of the things that Folger in Inside Football actually proposed is, you know, maybe trading Hernandez to get to a team that's more pass-oriented, which is where he would, you know, obviously thrive. And maybe seeing if you can't get a couple of, you know, a couple of draft picks to maybe stock up on some other needs. Now, there's two schools of thoughts of that. You know, obviously, you know, if you trade Hernandez, if he's not your left guard of the future, and you trade him and you get some picks, that's what you want to do. You want to stockpile and you want to use those picks and turn them into areas, you know, positions that you need. And the Giants have a lot of, you know, secondary needs in addition to, you know, wide receiver, cornerback to an edge rusher. You know, they're going to need a running back. They're going to probably need another inside linebacker. They may need more defensive line help and so forth. So that's one school of thought. The flip side of that is that if you trade away Hernandez, now who becomes your third guard? You know, that would mean you're going to keep Zeitler, who, you know, is still very functional, even though he carries a big cap hit. You're going to keep Lemieux, obviously. Who's your third guard? Is it going to be Chad Slade? Is it going to be someone you pick up, you know, on a one-year minimum deal via free agency? Is it someone you draft? That's kind of where the problem lies, because as I said in the receivers podcast, you don't want to necessarily make a trade that is going to create a hole. If you make a trade, you want to be able to have an answer already on the roster, or at least have a plan as to how you're going to fill that need. So, you know, you look at the receivers, and I talked about Odell Beckham Jr., how they traded him away, but they never really landed a legitimate number one receiver to replace him. You know, you talk about moving on from Golden Tate. Well, you know, I think it's safe to say the Giants are probably going to add a receiver to replace Golden Tate. With Hernandez, if you trade him away, you know, what's your answer? You know, where do you rank offensive guard on the scale of needs? And does it become a need now? Right now, you've got three solid guards who you can rotate, you know, in as necessary. Do you really want to create another hole there? So that's one of the questions I think the Giants need to address. And it's, you know, they obviously will, but just an interesting thought, I thought, that was thrown out there by Bob Folger of Inside Football. And by the way, if you want information on Inside Football, visit shop.insidefootball.com. The first of two season-ending issues is going to be out probably in the next week. So we just finished the offensive one. We're going to work on the defensive one this week. And, you know, a lot of great stuff in there. I think you guys will enjoy it. So, all right, Giant fans, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, a few more thoughts on the offensive line as we continue to review the 2020 Giants season by position. Stay with us.
Have you tried the all-new and improved Built Bar? If not, you're missing out on one of the industry's healthiest and tastiest snack treats that's loaded with protein and low on sugar. With 18 different flavors, including nut and non-nut variety, you'll enjoy healthy snacks covered in 100% chocolate that's soft and easy to chew, and most importantly, great for the health conscious. Built Bars are great for folks on the keto diet and include protein and fiber nutrients you need without the exorbitant calories. And use the code LOCKEDON at checkout to save $10 off your next purchase. Visit BuiltBar.com to check out their amazing offering of flavors and put your customized box together. And don't forget, use the code LOCKEDON at checkout to save $10 off your order. That's BuiltBar.com.
Are we ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and the NFL has some big matchups coming up as the 2020 regular season comes to a close and the playoff picture becomes clearer. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sports book experts.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment 3 of Locked On Giants. Patricia Traynor here with you. And just a reminder that we will continue the position unit breakdowns. I may double up a couple here and there just because we have some other content, obviously, we want to get to this week. Amongst them, I want to get Rick Saratella of Draft Bible, NFL Draft Bible, on the show to preview the upcoming Senior Bowl. I would like to get a Twitter Thursday in because I know some of you have some questions. So we'll set aside Thursday for that. And then the following week, as I mentioned, we're going to have Senior Bowl coverage. So lots of stuff coming up. But, you know, look, we got to finish what we started. So we started going through the position reviews. And today we're finishing up the offense. We're going to finish up the defense and get that in over the next several days as well. So just a quick overview as to what you can expect here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Do hope you'll tune in, and appreciate those of you who listen on a daily basis. And to those of you who are new listeners, thank you so much for choosing us. Lots of podcasts out there, so we do appreciate you taking some time out of your day to listen to the Locked On Giants podcast. A few last thoughts now on the Giants offensive line. I've got to give kudos to Nick Gates. Now, just to kind of give you guys a little background, I started chatting with Nick Gates back in 2019 when he was kind of a backup offensive lineman. Really nice guy, really a sweetheart of a guy, very forthcoming, very, focused, very appreciative of being in the NFL. You know, he signed with the Giants as an undrafted free agent out of, I believe it was Nebraska. He was a guy that initially, you know, I remember him in his rookie mini camp. A guy who kept standing out to me. At the time, he was playing tackle. And there was just something about him that I thought to myself, maybe they've got something there they can work with this particular guy. But anyway, when the Giants decided they were going to throw Nick Gates in head first at center, despite not having an off season, despite not having a true preseason, I'm not going to lie, folks, I had my doubts. I didn't know how Nick was going to respond. I knew he had the mental capacity to make the transition a smooth one. He's a very smart player. But knowing how to do something and actually being able to do it, two very different things. And Nick Gates, in his first year at center, did a fantastic job. Now, there were still some hiccups, mainly because some of the line call protections were a little off. And that was probably, you know, you have an inexperienced center plus, you know, a second-year quarterback. So just maybe that was the function of the two of them being still kind of young. With that said, Nick Gates, man, I'll tell you, if I ever have to get into a fight with anybody, I want that guy in my corner. I love how Nick was kind of a bully out there. I mean, you go back to that Week 17 game against the Cowboys and how he drew a penalty by, you know, kind of an extra shove here and there before the whistle that just agitated a Cowboy defender. And Nick Gates just proved to me that he was just an expert at getting under guys' skin without costing his team necessarily, you know, with a penalty or anything like that. And you know, just another benefit of his game. And, you know, with more work on his technique and the more he sees different things, I think the Giants got themselves their long-term center. I really do. And, you know, I didn't feel that way, you know, this time last year. I had my doubts. But look, that's why you play the game. And I am not ashamed to admit that I was wrong on Nick Gates, because I was. I absolutely was. So, all right. Rounding out the rest of the offensive line, Matt Parrott at right tackle. I think a lot of us believe that he's going to step in at right tackle next year automatically. I suspect he's going to compete for the position. I don't know necessarily if the Giants will be able to re-sign Cam Fleming or if they'll want to re-sign Cam Fleming. Me personally, if I can work something out, I'd bring him back. You know, he was a good player, you know, solid. Not spectacular, but, you know, if you compare, I guess if you're looking for a comparison, you could say that Cam Fleming was on par with Mike Remmers. The only difference being is that Cam Fleming was healthier. He didn't have the back issue. So I'm just wondering if maybe the Giants bring him back. You know, I would imagine Cam Fleming's going to want to start, having done so this year, but I can't see him getting big money. I mean, if you go back and you look at, you know, Mike Remmers, he signed a one-year deal, I think it was for a couple million with the Chiefs to be a starter on their offensive line. And to me, that's how I could see things going with Cam Fleming. Now, will the Giants be the ones to re-sign him? The big thing, folks, is the salary cap. We just don't know what the salary cap's going to be, how that's going to affect some decisions. Just, you know, it's kind of messing everything up. And, you know, that goes along the same lines with decisions that have to be made on Nate Solder and what's going to happen there. Now, I think Nate Solder is going to retire because, you know, there was an interview that he did with Fox 5 a couple months ago, and he just looked like he was losing muscle mass. And, you know, considering that he opted out because of the COVID-19 pandemic, and the COVID-19 virus, unfortunately, is not going away anytime soon, you just wonder if is Nate Solder going to call it a career? Now, either way, if he's a pre-June 1st cut or a post-June 1st transaction, it's going to cost the Giants a pretty penny. So you wonder, and this is why, you know, I haven't gotten too deep into salary cap stuff yet, but you wonder if maybe there's going to be discussions amongst the NFL and the NFLPA about having certain, you know, allowing X number of buyouts of guys' contracts where, you know, it doesn't end up costing against the cap. And that's a topic, you know, for another day in detail. You know, maybe we can get a Jason Fitzgerald, or I could see about Joel Corey coming on as we get a little closer. But, you know, getting back to the offensive line, that's definitely, you know, a decision to make. Now, there is the slight possibility maybe Nate Solder wants to come back, but I'd be surprised at that. I just, you don't bring him back for the $16-plus million that he's scheduled to make. So I just don't see that happening. One other thing on the offensive line. The reason why I think there is a lot of optimism is not just because of the individual performances, but this group was able to get in some much-needed work together. And, you know, next year, or I should say, we're already in next year, but, you know, 2021, I don't think necessarily if there's a lack of an off-season again, that will hurt them as much. I think, you know, because they've had some snaps together, they'll be a little further along than they were this time last year where there were so many question marks. So things are looking up for that offensive line unit, and I'm really excited to see what they put on the field in 2021. I do think, you know, we could see Peart, like I said, at right tackle over Fleming. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do with Kevin Zeitler. Again, just as we talk about potentially moving Will Hernandez via trade, if you move Zeitler out, you know, again, you're back to the same situation where who's your third guard? So Zeitler is still functional. I think they retain him, but, you know, a lot of reasons why I'm not sure about this stuff is because you need to know what the cap is. And from there, you can go and you can make better educated guesses as to what teams might do. So still plenty of more to come, you know, and we'll just kind of see how this all goes. But from a performance perspective, the Giants offensive line does finally look like it's on the right track. Finally, you know, no more patchwork, you know, slapping stuff together like they were doing. Dave Gettleman has a plan, and so far that plan has been executed, and it's looking very, very promising. All right, Giant fans, that's going to do it for today's show. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to start our defensive reviews. We're going to have the defensive line will be up first, and there's some stuff to talk about that. And I'll just update you as I have a clearer schedule on the shows for the rest of the week. Like I said, Rick Ciritella, I'm working to get him on a show. And then we'll do a Twitter Thursday, too. So for Twitter Thursday, send your questions in to me at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. Tweet them to @Patricia_Traina with the hashtag AskPTrain. Thanks so much for tuning in, Giant fans. Appreciate you as always, and we'll talk to you again soon.